by the grace of God, like, he saved my life. He saved my marriage through a small group. And like, when I remember one about week five or week six, when I was struggling through my addiction, and I took off my mask because, like, for the first 4 to 5 weeks, I just sat there kind of quiet. I was one of those participants that just consumed the information and never really shared. About week five or six, like, I was like, hey guys, like, you know, I had a nasty fight with my wife, and I punched a hole in the wall, and, you know, and like, my drinking had become a problem at that point. And like, when my group, when they banded around me, and it was like, okay, like, man, I was fearful of like what they would say, but like, it was more freeing how God was gonna heal me by just having these guys check in on me every day, texting me, calling me, hey man, thinking about you, how's everything going? Man, they modeled for me what I model for other people, because I know how it changed my life, how it saved my marriage, how it saved my, like, it saved my life, man. I don't even know if I would be here today, honestly.
This is the Build Groups Podcast, where we equip and resource group leaders and pastors in the local church to make disciples with one another together. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Build Groups Podcast. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. With us today, Matt Moore, your co-host. Matt, how are you doing today, man?
Dude, I am fantastic, Adam. Really excited to learn about multiplication today. Like, we've got an expert on, so I'm excited to hear, man, how to multiply groups and how to grow our groups in a healthy way.
Yeah, we've got a great guest today, guys. Anthony Colon, who is the pastor of adult ministries at Anchor Church in McKinney, Texas. He graduated from Highlands College in 2019. He's married to Ashley, and they have 4 kids. There's more you're going to get to hear about him. I'm going to let him tell a little bit about himself and his background, his story, ministry experience. Anthony, his ministry, they have gone from 25 groups to 83 groups in about 7 months. And so when Matt says multiplication and launching and starting new groups, we thought, man, it'd be great to have Anthony to come on and just share about what the Lord's doing in and through their ministry, what he is doing practically and wisdom-based execution of just the Lord honoring that and just getting to reap a harvest and see what the Lord's doing there. So, man, Anthony, how are you doing today?
Man, hey, doing great, man. Thank you so much for just inviting me to speak on here, guys. First off, I just want to say, you know, it's an honor to be on the Build Groups Podcast. Adam, thank you so much. Matt, great talking to you and just kind of like getting to know who you are too. But man, yeah, we're excited, man. This is a new year and just looking forward to, you know, what's ahead. You know, I think we all are, right?
Yeah, every year we get past, you know, further away from COVID, everyone's excited. That's how that works.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, in a year we won't even be saying it. We'll just be like, what is right? We won't even remember. So man, Anthony, tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's funny, I was just thinking, I was like, that's actually when we met back in 2020, Adam. And I was like, man, like, I never remember where we were and all that. But you know, like you said, you interviewed me. I'm married first and foremost, and we have 4 amazing kids. Y'all can pray for us. We're going to have next year, starting in the fall, we'll have a high school freshman. And then we're going to have 3 boys all in elementary school. So we have 4th grade, 2nd grade, and a kindergartner. You know, they're going to know the Cologne boys. That's for sure. You know, but yeah, you know, beyond that, you know, just picked up golf about a year and a half ago. I think that's like, you know, when you go to ministry school, one of the things is like you have to multiply like your family. You're gonna have at least 4 kids, right, to become a pastor. I think it's like an unwritten rule. And then you have to learn how to golf. So I checked both of those boxes. That's how you multiply your groups, guys.
All right, and that's all we've got for today. We'll see you guys later. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that. So yeah, Anthony and I, we've known each other for several years, and yeah, we met, man, I can't remember if it was a coffee shop or at your church, but we met and we're just, man, we're talking. I was like, oh man, this guy, him and I, our brains work very much alike. We're very processes driven and people and mobilizing and empowering. And so I, even from the first time we had talked to him, I was like, I like this guy. This is going to be good. So, yeah, man. Well, hey, what is one hobby that you have, Anthony? Just for our listeners, you know, to get to know you a little bit better. We're talking about a couple things. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, you know, about, you know, maybe baseball or whatever. But what's a hobby that you have? It doesn't have to be baseball.
Well, it definitely is. You know, I know we have baseball season about to start right around the corner. I'm a huge Yankee fan. But beyond that, you know, I grew up playing baseball. And a lot of times in ministry, I can relate to whether you're at bat or if you're on the field. Recently picked up golf about, like I said, about a year and a half ago. But, like, honestly, like, one of my other five favorite hobbies, like, when I do have free time, when we do have free time, I should say, right? When is that? I love reading. I like to listen to audiobook and or I just like reading paperback books, you know. this is fun. I volunteer at the local golf course now too on Saturday morning so that I can get free rounds of golf. That's one way around, you know, spending so much money. So I volunteer on the driving range and I pick up the balls and all that. But that's like 4 hours of uninterrupted time. You can podcast, you can just have your time with God and you know, while you're getting pelted by balls. It's great.
Yeah, you're risking your life out there, man. I mean, I may or may not know a few guys, and I may or may not have been involved where there were bets that were made of who could hit the guy in the golf cart picking up the range balls, right? So,
If I forget my earplugs, it startles you, and it startles you because it's not expected. But yeah, man, that's fun. I read two books right now: "Excellence Wins" by Horst Schultz. Really, really great book, guys. Talk, you know, just about the Ritz-Carlton experience. You know, how do people go above and beyond in making that you know, welcoming first-time experience and digging into the details of culture of excellence, you know? And then the second book I'm reading, I'm reading multiple books at the same time.
Yeah.
is The Power of Connection in the Church. It's by Steve Chestnut, and he's out in Milestone Church in Keller, Texas. Hands down, probably, I'll say both books are in my top five. I'm rereading them, actually. Okay. So, definitely. Those two books are gold. If you don't have it in your library behind you, I see your little bookshelf, get those books, bro.
I don't know if there's any slots open back there to add new books, but, you know, you can make room for a top five on Anthony's list, so...
Come on.
Yeah, man. Horst Schultz, he was just on the Vanderblumen podcast. I listened to that episode with him talking on that subject. It was phenomenal. So, you got to have those earbuds in the cart so you don't get those unexpected things, right? And, you know, when you talk groups ministry, there's unexpected things at times. And so, man, as we dive in and we start talking about maybe some of the things that are expected, unexpected, planned or unplanned, and what you're seeing God do, what is usually really helpful for our audience and our listeners, those of you who are listening right now, is when whoever comes on and we ask these questions and you're sharing, Anthony, is to just kind of give a breakdown of your group's ministry that you oversee, like the types of groups, the total number of groups, how many leaders, how many people total in a group, what percentage of your people are in a group versus attending worship service Sunday on a, you know, on a weekend. That really helps contextualize for some of these people to go, okay, that's sort of how their groups are structured. And then they can find that principle a little bit easier and apply it into their context that may or may not be different. There is a volunteer crisis in the church today. What are you doing about it? Build Groups Coaching and Consulting helps churches build a custom, discover, develop, and deploy new volunteers and leaders process to increase your volunteer base by 30 to 50% in 6 to 12 months. We do this with churches over and over again, all shapes and sizes, all across the country. To learn more about how we can change your ministry world, deepen your bench so that you never feel the pinch or pain of not having enough volunteers or leaders in your ministry again, go to buildgroups.net/consult. So, man, can you give us a breakdown just kind of some of those things and metrics and kind of the purpose of your groups?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being a sports guy, metrics are important, right? Numbers are important.
Amen.
they're not everything, but they are important just so you know where you are. I think that's number one is like, for if you are listening, and you know, I say we're a smaller church compared to like Church of the Highlands where we came from, that 60 something thousand people, right? So on our average on a Sunday, we have about 615 adults that would attend. One out of the three worship services. So we have about 615. Yeah, some kids, and we've got about 1,000 to 1,100 person church. Right now, currently, we have I'll say about 75% of our attendance in groups, and we have 453 unique members that are in small groups. And so, like, out of the 615, 453 are plugged in, active, and you know, are whether they're leading a group or co-leading, or if they're involved in a small group, like that's a great number to have. You know, my goal, I think, like, you know, like anybody, like, I want to have more people in groups than actually attend on Sunday. You know, like, how can we invite some of these people that we meet at coffee shops? You know, how can we invite a server to a small group, for example? Like, just loving on not just people that come to your church, but just loving on everybody, letting them know that there's a place that they can call home and build community. We do a four hub model. So we have men's groups, women's groups, marriage, and students. So men, women, marriage, and students. And then there's a breakdown of coaches and the coach's job, really. They're just overseeing the small group leaders, whether they're a first-time small group leader or they're a seasoned leader. These coaches, their main role is not to sneak in and see if like they're doing like a good job, and if they're not, they're gonna ask them. That's not their job. Their job is to be their prayer covering. And I like to say, like, you know, how do we go from 25 groups to 83 groups with 95 new leaders? We have 95 leaders leading groups right now in this season. Like, how, you know? And I would say, like, we bathed it in prayer. Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Like, we definitely bathe this baby in prayer. Like, you know, without that, honestly, Matt, we're kind of joking around earlier, like, hey, what's the secret sauce on, like, prayer? It really is, you know? Like, we can try to do things on our own end, you know? Like, I like Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first his kingdom, right? So, like, without his leading, without his vision for the groups, for what, you know, like, I don't ever want to step in the way of that, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, what he's trying to tell us. But yeah, with the four group, four hub model, we have men's, women's, marriage, and students. You might have someone like myself. I'm currently leading a marriage group, and I'm plugged into the men's groups as well. I try not to overkill myself, you know, and what's an expectation is, like, do what you can do, you know, do what you can do. And I think that's the most important thing. It's like, you know, I like to ask, you know, like, small group pastors or small group directors at their churches, like, three questions that you should probably ask yourself for your specific small group. Like, before I even say that, like, how often do we go to, like, conferences and, like, hey, I want to take all this information and bring it back to my church, right? So number one is, like, who are you? Like, who are we? Like, what's your DNA? What's your vision? What's, you know, like, who are you? What do we do? And then what do you value? So who are you? What do you do? And what do you value? If you can answer any of those questions and really tailor your group system or your volunteer base, that, like those are three questions, like, we should always kind of come back to with groups.
Awesome. Well, you've teed it up for us. Because our next question really is around, like, what's the purpose of your group? So, like, what is the purpose? Like, what, maybe answer those three questions for us about your group's ministry.
Yeah, we want people to find community. I think that's, like, the most important thing is, like, you know, for the first time person that's probably coming to your church, and they're interested in joining a small group, maybe because, like, they've been to other churches before, and they've called them life groups or community groups or small groups, or where we are, we call them anchor groups. Like, they're all the same in a weird sense. They can be. I know there's some groups that meet year round, and like, we don't meet year round. We have different semesters of groups. Man, this is really cool, man. I like digging. I like dissecting what we have, because I realize not everybody has the same model, same structure, and whatnot. So what we've done, we've established a 14, 6, and 14 semester. So 14 weeks you're meeting, and then there's a small break in the early summertime. And then summertime you're going to meet for 6 weeks, and then there's a break. And then for that fall-winter semester, you're going to have another 14 weeks. So, and then another break, and then you just rinse and repeat, 14-6, 14-6, 14. We got to see, like, what groups are people interested in, right? Honestly, like, you know, our church, I'll say, can be anywhere between 30 to 50-year-old, you know, married couples, 30 to 50-year-old married couples. And ideally, we went from only having one marriage group in last semester to having 12 married groups this semester. And they're all kind of bursting at the seams, which shows us, like, hey, we need more marriage groups. We need more parenting groups. And it's really cool. Like, the win is when we hear from these small group participants, like, hey, I found community. I like, one of the next steps that I took is just trying to find a place where I can call home. That these are people that I can call family. And we want to band around our small group leaders should be praying for their people. They should be guiding people to their next steps, whatever that might look like. It's really good.
That's great, man. That's great. So what's the, you know, if you guys have multiplied so much, now people jump from, what was it, 20 some groups to 70 at this point?
Yeah, 25. Yeah, like, 83 groups, dude. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shortchange you there with the 70. You know, one of the things we found in talking with other small group point people is that that multiplication conversation is very difficult, because you're typically having a conversation with somebody who's ready to lead, and you're also talking to a leader, and what you're telling them is it's usually two best friends, and you're saying, hey, you guys need to go start your own groups and have separate groups and not be in community the same way anymore. Not that you're abandoning community altogether, but it's going to be different. And so would love to hear, like, that conversation, how you navigate that conversation, what that looks like, and how you've been successful at breaking up best friendships.
It's like shaking the nest. You know, that's what someone once told me. He was like, hey, dude, like, just like the eagle will shake the nest to get the babies out and let them fly. Like, that's what I tell people. I was like, if you're in my personal small group for, like, more than two semesters, like, I in a good way, I'm going to kick you out so that you can lead. Like, we have to always be thinking, how can I replicate myself? You know, when I go into a small group semester, or, you know, as a pastor, two things, like, our what and why need to be crystal clear. So, like, what is, like, our groups are a way to bring people together, right? And to kind of answer your question, Matt, it's like, yeah, okay, we're bringing them together, but then we're also going to kind of, like, encourage them to go out, right? So it's like, it's a come in, but it's also, like, we're called to multiply. So it's really weird, but, like, you know, when you find your community, like, there's nothing better than, like, when someone I've kind of, like, discipled and brought up and like, really, even during the semester, even if they're not co-leading, I look for, like, specific cues. Are they willing to, like, help out with food? Do they come in early? Do they want volunteer to pray? Like, hey, can somebody pray today? You know, and you might have one or two that raise their hand. It's like, yeah. Like, think back to, like, when you first started praying for other people. Like, for a lot of new small group leaders, that's, like, really challenging for a lot of people. But, like, these are, I look for God to highlight specific people that can really just take that next step and being faithful where they are. The second thing I say, like, as small groups, keeping those expectations clear, like, replicating yourself. Like, I let them know, hey, by the end of the semester, you know, most of us are either going to continue to join a small group, and you're going to, like, in the summertime, you're going to be a part of a group. But honestly, there's three or four of you that should launch your own small group. And it's not just there. It's, like, those coffee meetings that are during the week. It's those, like, hey, tell me, like, when I personally meet with somebody one-on-one over coffee. I say coffee because I'm from Jersey. I always say that. Hey, say coffee. In my small group leader training, I always make fun of that. And I make everybody say coffee. You got to say it right. Otherwise, it doesn't count. rewarding your group leaders and rewarding those people that want to take a next step. You know, for example, like we're almost halfway into this current small group semester, and something I just launched 2 days ago is a next step survey. So this goes out to all 453 of our people that are plugged into the groups, whether you're currently leading your group or you're co-leading, or if you're a participant. And it's going to ask specific questions here. Some of these questions are like, you know, like in your next step journey, like what did you do? Like so for some, maybe they started a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm like, dude, like we need to celebrate that. Celebrating the small wins. Like your next step, hey, let's get water baptized. And like as a group, like how powerful is it? Like when you have a group of people surrounding that first time believer and cheering them on after they've been water baptized. Or, you know, it could dive deeper. It could be like, hey, I just started tithing for the first time. Or, you know, a lot of people oversee this one, like they're healed from like unforgiveness or shame or guilt. Like that's a huge next step for somebody to take. But like, I like what you said, like how do you spot and develop new leaders? It's by communicating it and then over communicating it. Because as pastors, we can assume a lot of times that, hey, all of our small group leaders are having the same direction. They're all communicating the same thing. And it's like, no, like they're not. You know, we have to circle back and just keep driving it in.
How do you train small group leaders and teachers? Group Leader Training, a biblical manual for small group leaders and teachers in the local church, is a holistic 5-session training based on Acts 2, 42 through 47 that trains group leaders to deepen community, encourage growth, mobilize group members to service and sharing of their faith with unbelievers. Course videos, belief assessments, and more resources are provided online with special access through the workbook. 50% off bulk orders is available exclusively on our website. To learn more, go to buildgroups.net/coming soon.
So this is my first semester overseeing small groups with this group of people. You know, I just joined June of 22. I was overseeing what we call our dream team, our volunteer on Sundays. And like I oversee all next steps. But like during the week, every Wednesday, I'll send out an encouraging email as well. Encourage ESPN, guys. Encourage, provide scripture, pray, and then really clearly define a next step for your leaders, your participants, and whatnot. So they know that just going to a small group isn't the end all. It's like, okay, I went to a small group, check. It's like, no, now do something with that. And I like to see people where they are. And like, you know, sometimes you gotta think in their shoes. Like, why won't someone want to lead a small group, right? Maybe they're afraid of what other people are gonna say. Or maybe they're afraid of their own past. And like, like that's such a lie from the enemy. Like our past doesn't disqualify us from leading. It should qualify us even more to like really help other people find freedom. You know, maybe someone that's overcome addiction, for example. Like how cool would it be for that person to lead an addiction recovery kind of group? You know, like that's the kind of stuff. Or if a married couple, for example, in your small group, they've overcome whatever obstacle that married couples can come across. Like, I mean, I can name a thousand right now. but like how much more powerful would it be if like you call them to actually lead other couples and then use their testimony of like how like they were on the brink of divorce, but when they both pursued God, found community, like they found the next steps to just come closer together. It's really powerful and healing.
Great. That's great. So are your groups on campus, in homes?
Oh, that's great.
What's that look like?
Yeah. You know, most groups do meet on campus, but I'll say the majority of our small groups are either in homes, they're in parks. We have a free market system. So basically our group structure is like, it could be discipleship focused. It could be walk in the park on Tuesday mornings, you know, and connect. And then get your couple miles in, you know, golf. I want to launch a golf small group, whatever that would look like. I don't know. Maybe on the driving range or on the putting, like it doesn't matter, but you know, it's, but you know, how can we encourage somebody? How can we provide scripture, pray for them and you know, provide a clear next step to help people grow. I think that's what we got to look at. Yeah.
So Adam and I might start a golf small group at your driving range on Saturday morning.
Yeah, do it. It's packed up. You got to get there before the crowd gets there. Right?
It's going to be about anger management. We're going to try to hit the card as much as we can.
Aim for me. Come on.
Be like, anger's not a sentence. What do you do with that anger, right? So,
right. I think, to sum up everything about like our group, so it's like, do they value the vision of your church? You know, like, and if someone's like, hey, I'm thinking about launching a church and I know we want to have community. It's like, you know, we're a church of groups. We're not a church with small groups. It's not something that we just add in, you know, like this needs to be like life on life. You know, people are taking off the mask and they're being as transparent and clear and like, hey, this is who I am. The win is like within the first 2 weeks, if people are doing that and really taking this seriously, like, hey, I'm in a group because I want to find community, or I'm in a group because like, dude, like I've been trying to do life my own way and it's not working. And I have nobody in my life. Like you're the sum total of like your five closest relationships. And like the beauty of this group semester is like, you know, at the end of the semester, some people are going to be attracted to your small group that you might not even know, you know, but how welcoming are you to them? And then like, how cool is it? Like when that, I told you guys I'm from Jersey and my first church experience was in Birmingham, Alabama, years later. And coincidentally, one of my first small group participants, my very first small group experience, this guy has this like huge Bible. I was like, dude, this thing was a King James version. It looked like, you know, like, it was a ginormous, like, encyclopedia-looking thing. And then he had a cowboy hat on and a cowboy sweatshirt. I'm a Giants fan at heart, man. And I was like, no, surely, like, this is it. He's not in my small group. And he was in my small group, you know. And God has a sense of humor putting a Cowboys fan and a Giants fan together and saying, hey, you guys can, you know, and connect. And the really cool part is, like, you know, you might not know somebody on your first day, but by the end of the day, like, they're gonna, like, at the end of the semester, they're going to be your best friend for life.
Man, I love that. That's hilarious. His sense of humor in that way is so just, thank you, Lord. Okay. I'm with you. Here we go. I'm on board with the agenda you have for my life and I'm going to change that. And, you know, I love one of the things that you said back there about, you know, kind of finding new potential group leaders, which that's everybody needs more leaders in their ministry. Everybody needs more new small group leaders. And they feel the pinch and the pain. And one of the things you said was thinking from their vantage point or thinking about, well, what is it that might hold them back and putting yourself in their shoes versus you just, and I think a lot of times we get so stuck in what we need as a ministry leader, like, hey, we have all these people who want to join a group, or we have all these people that we know need to get into a group. And so I need to find group leaders. And we can just kind of bypass that individual soul who is going to be that small group leader and really don't even consider their needs. We don't empathize and put ourselves in their shoes to go, where are they and how do I help them fulfill their ministry calling? Where do you find new volunteers and leaders? Build Groups offers a one-time, two-hour Discover exercise virtually or in person with your church staff and team and help you build a long list of potential new volunteers and leaders you can invite and onboard into a training process to deploy them into the specific ministry area that they are called to. We've helped churches build a list of nearly 400 names. If you would like to do the same and not feel the pinch and pains of volunteer holes every week, go to buildgroups.net/CI, select Discover Exercise, submit the form, and we'll fill your ministry bench. And so I love that you said that. And so I think that goes right into, right, really a lot of what I've said from the start that we're going to dive into and discuss with, you know, you guys have seen your group's ministry grow from 25 to 83 groups in 7 months, which is just incredible. I mean, it's like, that's insane growth. And so right? Obviously, all grace of the Lord and all of those things. What are the things that you guys have done that the Lord has honored in your work and the cooperation there of Him moving and working and honoring the seeds that you are sowing and Him producing that harvest? What are some of those things that you're doing that you're like, hey, this is what the Lord's honoring and is working to see this massive multiplication?
That's good. I think as a small group pastor and a pastor, you know, like the most important thing is that we're planting the seeds, you know, plant the seeds. It's rare for us to see the fruit of the seed that's been planted, but like it's rewarding when it's so fast like that, you know. I think the relationships with people do not need to be transactional. They need to be like highly relational. And like, you know, when we see these people, and just because there's a need and like maybe someone's not ready to lead a small group, and it's just having that discernment to like know, like, hey, oh, I've connected with this person, and from that coffee meeting or even a lunch, like coffee, I think like coffee's great. I'm already wired up, man. I love eating food, and there's amazing places in this part of Dallas, you know, McKinney area to eat. I think food is always like the best way to get to someone's heart, you know. I'm gonna be real there. That's
amen.
If you're a pastor and you're not taking out your people to at least lunch or something, like, you know, like add that to your arsenal, man. Like it just shows people that you value them. Value your people, man. Like, you gotta value them. That's what we value at Anchor Church, as people. We love God and we love people. That has to be top of the list. Beyond prayer and like, you know, seeking God in it, it's like, how do we love the people? And then like what we see where they are, like, don't make it transactional. Like, you know, because a lot of times maybe that's how they got burned in the previous church. It's because like there was a need and we like, hey, we got to fill the need. Like our when we see people, we can't see them as like, hey, this is someone that can do this. It's like, no, like, how can I serve them so that they can like really serve the kingdom of God? That's like when we encourage someone, when we empower them to truly make a difference, and when we can call out their giftings and say, hey, I know what your past says. I know what's kind of stopping you. I've been there, man. Another podcast, I can share my testimony and share exactly like, I should not be here right now. I should not even be on this podcast. but by the grace of God, like, He saved my life. He saved my marriage through a small group. And like, when I remember one about week five or week six, when I was struggling through my addiction, and I took off my mask because like for the first 4 to 5 weeks, I just sat there kind of quiet. I was one of those participants that just consumed the information and never really shared. About week five or six, like I was like, hey guys, like, you know, I had a nasty fight with my wife and I punched a hole in the wall, and you know, and like my drinking had become a problem at that point. And like when my group, like when they banded around me and it was like, okay, like, and like they, I was fearful of like what they would say, but like it was more freeing how God was going to heal me by just having these guys check in on me every day, texting me, calling me. Hey man, thinking about you, how's everything going? Like, man, they modeled for me what I model for other people, because I know how it changed my life, how it saved my marriage, how it saved my, like it saved my life, man. I don't even know if I would be here today, honestly.
I love that. I absolutely love that, man. And so we're coming to the final few minutes here. So I've got a quick hitter question for you, Anthony, for this podcast episode. And then Matt will wrap it up with my favorite question. But the one quick hitter question, right, being a baseball guy, even though Yankees, like, we're not going to hold that against you. I don't even know how the Lord blesses your ministry in Texas, being a Yankees fan.
Oh,
but that's probably the biggest miracle we've discussed in this episode today, right?
Come on. I remember Aaron Judge broke a record a couple of years ago.
You know, that only counts in the United States, not the, you know, the nation, great nation of Texas. Yeah, no, you can't take away from that, man. He's dynamite. Yeah. He is good. So quick hitter question, 60 seconds or less. The title of the podcast is The Bill Groups Podcast. What's one way that you would encourage church leaders to build groups in their local church? One thing that they could do tomorrow. In 60 seconds or less.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's one thing. Man, pray first. Pray first, dude. you know, like without that vision from God, like, you know, try not to rely too much on what you, only you can do. So truly get a vision from God. Pray first. When you put that prayer in the forefront of everything that you do, you're submitting your ministry to God. You know, so like that's one. But number two, because it's not, it's like, okay, but what else can I do? It's just like start connecting with your people. Connection is so important, especially as a small group pastor. You have to connect with your people. You have to know your sheep, know the condition of your flock.
That's great, man. That's great. Love that. Love both those. I think they're very important. Adam says his favorite question, my favorite question every week is just hearing stories of life change within groups at churches. And so you've already given one example in your life, but I would love to hear from the ministry God's blessed you with, how you've seen life change through groups at your current church at Anchor.
Yeah, so couple days ago, I sent out this Next Step survey, and one of my questions on there says, please share any stories, testimonies, or just like anything, any additional comments regarding your small group experience. And like, I'm gonna shout out one person without saying any names, but like, I get this one, like, it's a common reply. And so like, this person says, so they're new to our church, had transitioned from another church to our church. And says, this is my first small group at Anchor, and I've loved making real connections with other women who love the Lord. And then she goes on to say, that, in my eyes, is a great next step on joining a new church, having real community. Like, how many times have I read this comment in the past couple of days? Like if our vision and or like, what do we do? Who are we? Like, what do we value? And if we're saying, hey, groups are, like, what groups are people interested in? Like, you know, like, what is our what and our why? Is if it's to bring people together, we're actually doing that, you know. So like for me, like that's the win right there. And then like even in this survey, like they're like, and I'm interested in leading a small group next semester. I'm like, that's a double win, you know. Like yes, like you got the win because like you found community, but now you're also seeing the value of leading a small group. And you understand that it's not just to be continue to ride the wave. It's like, hey, I'm gonna get on that next wave with a new group of people, having another set of people with you. And you might have some people that are currently in your group that want, because they love you and they want to connect with you some more, you know. But the win is like, man, like when she says, hey, and I want to lead a small group. It's like, let's go. Like she understands the vision of multiplication.
Nice, yeah, just that mentality shift. And not that this is the case with this person, but just in general, anytime you see someone go from consumer to contributor, I mean, goodness, it's like you said, those lights that just come on, and it's amazing. So yes, all the things that we talk about, all the metrics, all the structures, all the strategies, right? It all leads to this, the life change that we get to see in people through our ministries. Well, guys, that is all that we've got time for today. Thank you so much, Anthony, for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam, Matt. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. We're honored to have you on and excited for everyone, you audience listeners, to get to be blessed by what he shared here, taking some of the different things that they are doing, applying, begin. And I mean, honestly, a lot of the theme that I felt through this episode was prayer and just like, yeah, and all the best practices that are out there, like lay those before the Lord and go to him and let the one who can do far more than we can just get to work on your behalf. And just get to brag on him as you see him work in and through and bear fruit in your ministry. That's great. So, Matt, as always, co-host, thanks for jumping on, helping us and getting this rocking and rolling. He asked better questions than me, so that's why he's here, guys.
I had to find a reason. No, it's great being on here. Anthony, thanks. Pleasure meeting you and walking through this. Learned a lot from you today, and yeah, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man. I appreciate both of you guys. It's an honor again just to be here. So, yeah, thank you for your time and for your heart to help other pastors that are in our shoes. It's really good.
Yes. It only took us 4 years to get here to make it happen, right, Matt? So, better late than never, they say. So, plenty. The best is yet to come. Well, guys, Thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Bill Groups Podcast. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. Matt Moore, your co-host, signing off. Hope this was a blessing. You'll have a great rest of your day.